What is this? Oh man! I did it again.
But.
Will somebody please press start?
I had two experiences that really stand out in my mind. That one was, you know, in our church that I was at, the singers, we were kind of the same singers all the time, and you know, the pastor kind of knew what songs each of us could do, which, you know, we could handle or whatever. And I used to do the song called "Breathe." This is the air I breathe, and that was always my song.
Yeah.
And this one particular Sunday, I did it, and. And I think it was, I don't know, one of you guys was just saying this, that, you know, sometimes it's really just neat to see somebody get caught up, you know, out in the congregation in the worship. And this particular day, God was just really moving in this song, and I was kind of looking. And at a certain point, I just kind of stepped out and just changed the lyrics a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the pastor didn't look at me funny, so I was okay. But you know, instead of saying "This is the air I breathe," I changed it to "You are the air I breathe." And I tend to change, you know, things from, you know, a second person to a first person when I'm in my seat. But I never did it up there. And God just took that, and the pastor kind of picked up with it, and the congregation just kept singing, you know, "You are the air I breathe," for the rest of it. And it was just so neat to see God moving in that circumstance. And what was so humbling to me was that I was singing it, and it was just, and it had nothing to do with me.
Yes.
But it was so awesome, because it was like, God, you're going to use puny little me, who really, you know, can't really sing too well. You're really going to have me do that? And but it was neat, because it was encouragement to me that he can use anything he wants. He used a donkey. He can certainly use me. So, and it was neat. It was neat to see that. And then the other situation was, you know, we had prophecy in our church, but the way to go up and give a prophecy was not just to speak it out, but it was to, you'd come out of your seat, you'd stand there, and then if you felt you had a word, and then the pastor would either nod or shake his head. And this particular day, I thought I was just going to deliver a prophecy, and it turned out to be a song. And I just started to kind of sing it, and this was just so not like me, and it just started to come out, and the guy who was playing the keyboard started playing it, and as he's playing, it all went together, and then my words started rhyming. And it was like, and it was just the coolest thing. And then I listened to that tape like a billion times. I don't even have it anymore. But it was just, it was all about, just, you know, how God, you know, wants to deliver us and whatever. But those were like two really, like, points in my life where God just really, you know, moved in myself during the worship. And, you know, that just really stood out to me.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. Are you there?
Mm. Are you talking
about? I wasn't on mute. It was very interesting to hear that you changed into the first person. I didn't know other people did that.
Did people do that?
What about pet peeves about worship songs? Is they're singing about worshiping God. They're not actually worshiping God.
In God, yeah.
So I actually change the lyrics when I sing them. Mm. So.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
On that note, I think some of the most encouraging times that I've had in worship, you know, like when you play an instrument, and I know it's a little bit different when you sing, but when you only play an instrument and you do your part, and you know, you've practiced it for an hour before the service actually starts, which I usually found was actually a more powerful time for the team to actually worship than in the congregation than when the service was on. But maybe a time when you pull off just a really flawless practice, you know, it all fall together and go really great. But when you actually came time for the service, at the end of it, I thought, I've had times where I thought, man, that was dreadful on my part. You know what I mean? Like I missed, I was out of time. You know what I mean? Like it just goes horribly wrong. But no one really notices, but for yourself, it goes wrong, and you go, oh, that was just dreadful. And then someone will come up and they'll go, oh, you know, your playing really ministered to me today. And all you can do is sort of stare blankly at him for a minute, you know, and then you go, well, praise God, you know, thank you. But it makes you realize that it's not you. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I sucked. Do you know what I mean? And I know I did. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know I did. I missed the timing, or I, you know, just things like that, or I forgot my part, or whatever. And no one really notices it in a congregation because it slips by so fast.
Yeah.
But you, like, personally, you go, oh, man, why? You know, we had this flawless practice. And then all of a sudden when, you know, when the spot, not the spotlight, but when it comes time to actually, you know, do it, those just go pear-shaped really quickly. But it still touches someone, like God still uses it. Yeah, and it's a very humbling experience, but you sort of walk away going, well, no one even noticed that I stuffed up. But, like, God still touched somebody, and it's actually really encouraging. So, you know, I've experienced that. And the other one is where you have a really stuffed practice, and you think, oh, man, I'm going home now. And then it comes time for the service, and it's like you see the power of God move in people's lives, and there's, like, yeah, you know, you see people weeping before God, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't even remember that practice this morning. You know,
what do you play, Luke?
No, I'm not going to make a funny joke. I play guitar. I was going to say, I play the triangle, you know. I like to play. No.
See, Brad, you can be on a worship team. You know how to do it. Ding.
I usually play lead, but principally rhythm. Yeah, guitar, or I'll play bass, or I played a mandolin once, so, yeah.
Wow.
I play strings. Yeah, I play strings, you know. So, in whatever capacity serves, you know, suits the time, so, yeah.
But, do you know who our worship team leader, did you read this on the Brad's board? Our worship team leader in our church that we go to is Russell Frager.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
So I'm all around Australia. We got all, and then we had our speaker from on Sunday at church.
Yeah.
He was from Australia, so we're just bombarded with.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, the church I was in, we used to play songs, Russell Frager songs.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. He's in our church. He leads worship. I'm not on his team because I can't with my work schedule. But yeah, he's our leader.
There you go. Hey, it's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Hey, can I add to what Luke said?
Sure.
Damn it, Luke.
No.
Well, I just because you know, he says you go through this sometimes when you're up there and you're trying to lead worship, and for whatever reason you think you're doing a terrible job, or you're just not in the spirit. You're up there struggling, trying to figure out how can I lead worship when my heart isn't worshiping like it should at the moment. I think of that more of an attack than an actual problem. Because what the Bible says is that we should make a joyful noise. It doesn't say hit the right key every time, never miss your mark, you know, make your perfect, beautiful music. It says make a joyful noise. If you're up there as a worshiper in corporate worship leading, and you are doing, you're fulfilling your office, and your heart is really right because you know you're up there sacrificing and trying to worship, God's going to work through that no matter what. There isn't conditions on this that say it has to be perfect because I'm perfect, and otherwise I'm not coming, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank God, you know, he's in it. And it's not, you know, like Gracie said a couple times, it's not about us. It's about him and what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly correct.
It's great. And I was waiting for you to say, the practices that are tearing you, you're like, hey, isn't it great when the practice is perfect, but then you get into something like, gee, I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
All our practices were panics and nightmares, and then somehow we get into service and it would still work. I always said, Lord, it has to be you because it ain't us.
And that, yeah, it, and it's true, you know. It's like, make a joyful noise. And that's why I listen to the music that I do, and you can't say anything about it anymore because you said that.
Make a joyful noise.
TV in his car. I think it sounded something like,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm going to have to edit that. Sorry.
I put two cats in a bag and shook it really hard, and Luke said, hey, is that a band I haven't heard before?
Listen, my name's Tim, and I'm really funny.
I love you, man.
I love you.
Tender moment.
I didn't know that it was... I thought it was just a recording of a guy falling off a mountain. I didn't know that it was...
He's falling off a mountain with a bunch of stereo equipment.
Yeah.
No, that was the Beatles.
All right, well, do we want to go into topic number one, since Jason never showed up? Does anybody have things they've prepared to say about the sacraments?
Actually, I will say this, because, look, I don't think you're going to post this before, are you, Brad? Like, you're not going to post this until sort of next week, see?
Oh, no, not before tomorrow, anyway.
Yeah, all right, well, yeah. So I can say that I'm basically here, because I will say this quickly. The churches that, the churches in Australia, or all the ones that I know, and I've never seen any different, not that I've been to all of them or anything, but the one big difference about, well, what you call, you know, the communion, is that churches in Australia, they have it every week. And here, like, you know, talking to you guys or whatever, it's like it's every once a month or however many weeks.
It depends on the church. Some churches do it every week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just, I know it as normal, you know, but I mean, I came to your church and, you know, and I went to church on Sunday and it wasn't there, do you know what I mean? Like, it sort of stands out in a way. Not that I'm expecting it or think that it's right or wrong. It's just different. You know, I guess I half expect it to happen.
We have some churches that do that, Luke.
What's that?
We have some churches that do that. It's not widespread, but it's debased by the church.
Right. It's
some
not
people, you know, honestly, some people feel that overuse of it tends to demean it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
What I heard in our church is that, hey, if we do this every week, it's not going to mean anything to anybody. If we do it as something that happens occasionally, it's going to stand out more. Maybe it'll mean more to people. And I don't know. I could go either way on that, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the other way you could look at it, you could say, well, you know, if you do it every week and you do it, you know, with a proper attitude.
Right.
It's more, you know what I mean? Like, that's more time that you actually spend before God in that place of where you're making sure your heart's clean. But I'm not going to argue about this. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's an individual thing. It doesn't matter where, I mean, you can have communion in your home. You know, you don't have to have it at church. You can have it while you're having your lunch at work. It's an attitude of heart. You know?
Right.
But if you do it corporately, whether you do it once a week, once a month or whatever, you know, it's like it doesn't really matter in any sense. Because, you know, like God, I mean, Jesus said whenever you come together, do it. And break bread, you know, in remembrance of me. But still, I still believe it's more of an attitude of heart towards him at all times. That's my take. So, but I do enjoy it at church. You know, whether it happens every week or not doesn't really matter.
Why do we say grace before meals? I always, you know, not always, but... I've come to believe that because of the Last Supper, Lord, so whenever you come together and you eat and you drink, you bless the food, you do this in remembrance of me. And I kind of take my prayer over food as, here's my moment to remember you. If nothing else, three times a day, I specifically stop and think what my God did for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's wonderful to do it corporately, weekly, monthly, doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
But it matters that we find time to constantly you know, do this on a, together, to, we're all remembering at the same time with each other. We have that opportunity to come and say, you know, Lord, here I am to take the sacraments again and forgive me.
Yeah.
And help me remember again and afresh and anew and continue to remind me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think.
But now, what other sacraments? Sacraments is plural, and we have the Lord's Supper we've talked about. What other sacraments that I think are. I think that's the only one, one of the only ones, unless you consider water baptism a sacrament. What are the other ones? Because there's been a lot that has sort of drifted out of our culture, hasn't there?
You mean like the Easter roll every year?
Well, there was, for a long time, Christians celebrated the feasts, and there was
the feast of Israel, you mean?
Yes. Like, I think the Church of God's the only one that still does that.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, we had it in our church for a while because our pastor went on the Jewish roll, you know, like he was like right into it. So, but yeah. They still do it? Do they still do it, Brad?
The Church of God?
Yeah.
As far as I know, they do. I'm not an expert on this in any way. I just know that there's more than one sacrament, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Well, I don't know.
What's sad? I don't even know. I didn't know there was more than just communion. That's how bad I know. I'm like, oh, there's more? I checked.
Yeah.
It's a bit out of our culture, but yeah, I think there, you know, there's, at least traditionally in the Catholic Church, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
But you know what, getting back even to the communion thing for just a second, I don't think that we really take that as seriously as we should anymore. I mean, as I was saying earlier, you know, I see people go up for communion when I'm up leading worship, and they're all talking to each other, and nobody is in that. I can't say nobody, but I mean, some people are really not in that mindset of preparing their minds and their hearts. You know, that we all know that the Lord's Supper is a very serious time. We're really supposed to examine our hearts. We're supposed to make things right with our brother if we have an ought against him. We're supposed to take care of all that before we even go up there. And that, you know, when people took of the elements unworthily, you know, there was scripture in there that talked about sickness and everything else. But now it's just kind of come to the point where, you know, it's just, okay, well, here's the bread and here's the wine. And I kind of do agree with Luke. I mean, I as far as it's not done as much every week here. Now, the church I go to on Saturday nights, they do it every Saturday night. And that's great, and it's fantastic. But in every other church I've been at, including the one I go to on Sundays, and what I came from, they did it once a month, and it was just, you know, you come up and you get the bread and you get the, you know, the grape juice, and that was it. Now the church on Saturday, they get real wine. So the first time I took a sip of that, I was like, whoa!
That's like really heavy stuff.
I was like, I was really thrilled that night, but the one with
wine.
Yeah, but
David is not real wine.
but the you know, like I have to tell you, the church that I'm at on Sunday mornings, I really don't care for the way they do communion because it's just kind of like everybody get together and have a piece of bread, a little bit of juice. There's, you know, I mean, they do say, you know, all right, well, you know, you're all welcome to come to the table and whatever if you're a believer in Christ, but it's just become such a, you know, everybody, you know, just kind of like a free-for-all, and, you know, I don't see a lot of people getting up there, you know, in this worship because they're all talking, and I know because it distracts me. And what I do is I take mine, and I go and I sit in my seat, and I just pray and do it on my own, just because that's how I feel best in doing it, and I see other people have, you know, they do this similar things, but I don't think we take it as seriously as we should, and you know, I don't know if it's because I don't know if really we can blame it on, well, because it's done so much. I think it's just like everything else. We've kind of put it on a back burner, and we don't really take the time to really sit and think, wow, this is what God does for us. I mean, when you were just saying about how every mealtime you can just sit there and you have a few minutes where you can just thank God for what he did for you, well, that humbles me because, you know, I eat on the run. I mean, I drink, you know, protein shakes all day, and, you know, I eat, you know, while I'm working at lunchtime at work. And, you know, the only time I really sit there and say grace is at dinner time with my family. And yet I should be taking time throughout my day and thanking God for the fact that I'm breathing. So that was pretty humbling for me. So thank you for convicting my spirit.
Well, you said something about it's not something being what it used to mean. And I remember when I came up to the church, we didn't take communion as children. We had to go through communion class. You know, we went for a couple of Saturdays, and the pastor explained it all to us, gave us the idea of this is a reverent thing we do, and gave us the idea that, you know, there's respect that you have to put into this before we were allowed to do it. And I don't see that. I know that's not happening in our church, and I got, you know, 3 and 4. It's not that I don't want them to have it, but 3 and 4 year old kids who have no idea what they're actually partaking in.
Yeah.
And so there's a loss there of bringing in the respect, bringing in the true ideas of what's behind this before you get involved in it, and making sure you're ready to understand that and go, aha, this is something that's serious, important, and can really be effective in helping me to focus myself, at least even if it's once a month, to focus myself a little bit on, do I have a brother I need to forgive? Am I holding, do I have some sins in my life I need to confess? All these things are a part of this. And we've lost so much of that because we're trying not to be an old, dead, tied in religion, tied in tradition type churches. We've lost some of that. And I think some of that's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand we don't practice religion and, you know, dead religion and dead tradition, but to educate is a completely different thing.
Mm. Yeah. To add to that one, I have to say my experience of communion in church has always been, like, when you're talking about that, Gracie, you know, about people talking and stuff like that, really surprised me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going, what the? Because the churches that I've been in, like, it was always something that was taken very seriously. That, you know, that was a time of just reflection and quiet. And I think I was only thinking then it's only ever happened twice in the church that I've been in, because it's not something that you practice as a religious thing, but the two times that it happened, it's been very powerful, of where the ushers have handed out, the little cup and bread, and, you know, we've spent time before God, and, you know, like Tim said, you know, is there someone that I need to forgive or anything like that? And then with the person next to you, you actually swap your cup and your bread with that person. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's like, you're actually, in a sense, breaking that with them. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't explain it, but I just remember it being very, very powerful, where you're actually, it's like a full partaking of the body. So,
we did that at a women's retreat once where we actually had to deliver communion to the person that we struggled with the most.
Oh, really?
So,
that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, it was like, all right, so right away you knew who your enemies were.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you didn't like me?
One person got 20 pieces of bread.
Well, I had somebody come up and give me one, and I was like, what did I ever do to you?
Real fast.
Then it starts a whole other thing, like, oh, praise the Lord, you have the communion, and then afterwards it's like, now listen, what is your problem?
Yeah,
now we have an issue.
I went to a fight and communion broke out.
Then you can have a healing service.
Hallelujah. Anyway.
There's nothing left to say.
Yeah.
Well, guys, unless
don't have anything more to add, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. It's getting late, and I'm tired.
Yeah. Nothing to add, except this has been, as always, enlightening, fun, deep.
Mm-hmm.
I just do so much enjoy getting together with this group. There's so many people that bring so much to this, and I'm grateful for each one of you who have participated tonight. And thank you for some of the insights and some of the things you said to help me give me some things to really chew over. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I've especially enjoyed the small group where everybody could be online without having to step on each other, and that's been really nice.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good.
So thanks for joining us, and be thinking about what you want to talk about next time we get together.
Sure.
All right. Good night, everybody. Right.
Good
night.
Right. Right.
And it was nice to talk to you, y'all.
Yeah, us too. Bye-bye.
See ya.
There you have it. Join us next time for Grace Junkies. There's only one more thing to add. As deep or as complicated as these conversations can get, I would like to remind everyone that the Christian life is as simple as a relationship with the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. We at Grace Junkies may disagree on individual points, but we love each other. And we hope that you have a relationship with the Lord because He loves you. Thank you for joining us.
You're looking forward to the next Grace Junkies coming live from the Two Blind Squirrels website, My Life Ministries. The Wolfman Jack be coming right back at you now, ladies and gentlemen. But don't worry, because the Lord is still looking down on you all.
Okay, Charlie, need to turn down the turn down the oxygen level on your tank there.
Oh, I gotta put it back. Oh.
So what is this, Brad? Once every 2 weeks? This was fun. Can't we do it like tomorrow?
I would love to, but we'd have to get permission from all the wives, and I don't think that's going to be possible. No, we will be back. Hopefully, we'll see how long it takes to get these shows out, and we'll schedule another one.
Sounds great.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, appreciate it. It's been wonderful.
I'm not going to say a word here.